Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through Jesus, his glorious Son. Amen. Can you imagine the things that were going on in the heads of Peter, James, and John as they were heading down from the mountain when they had seen Jesus glowing like the sun and where they had heard the Father's voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son"? Do you think any of them were saying to themselves, "I'm concerned about my investments in Jerusalem's stock market," or, "If I'm ever going to enjoy retirement, I've got to start investing in a home," or, "Hey, I'm 25 years old. I wonder if I'm ever going to meet the right woman for me." No, I suspect the only thing they can imagine at this moment is, "What have I just seen? What is this kingdom Jesus is making me a part of? What now?" The brilliance of the sight of the glory of God's Son overwhelmed any earthly worries, just as surely as the brilliance of the morning sun overwhelms the shadows of midnight. Now, compare that sight with what's on people's minds today. By most measures, this seems to be the age of worry in our world, doesn't it? Between COVID, the economy, and world tensions, there's a lot on our minds. A 2022 survey by Chapman University in California discovered that these are the top 10 things that Americans say they are worried about. Number one, corrupt government officials. Number two, people I love becoming seriously ill. Number three, Russia using nuclear weapons. Number four, people I love dying. Number five, the U.S. involved in another world war. Number six, pollution of drinking water. Seven, not having enough money for the future. Number eight, economic or financial collapse. Number nine, pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes. Number 10, biological warfare. Of course, this list doesn't even begin to include the thousands of little things everyone wrestles with in their own world, which loom large. Does my child need braces? Should I be looking for a different job? How come it seems I have such a hard time making friends? How come my spouse and I seem to be arguing so much? But the kingdom Jesus came to bring demands that you rethink your life as a worrier and ask yourself, is my worry getting in the way of receiving the great things God has given me through his dear Son, my Lord Jesus? I invite you to listen to the beautiful words of a section from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the last of this four-part series we've been considering this Epiphany season. As we consider the thought, worry about things that matter. And even then, don't worry. This gem of wisdom from Jesus has the power to give you comfort for the rest of your life if you will just listen. It's found in two key thoughts. Here's the first. He knows how to care for you. Let's listen to some of the most reassuring and beautiful reminders of the whole Bible, urging us to trust the Lord of our God in the face of worries. Just after warning us about falling in love with money, he says to us, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Jesus doesn't even need to define for us what worry is. It comes so naturally to every human being, struggling the way we do with a nature that itself wants to play God and be in control of everything. The narrative goes like this. If I don't do it, if I'm not in control of it, it's not going to happen. Now, the issue, of course, is that God does allow us to be active in our life and to find great satisfaction in taking part of the management of our world. We see this as we watch little children growing up and learning skills. They soon start saying in an exasperated voice, I can do it all by myself. I can tie my own shoes. I can pick out my own clothes. I can walk across the street without holding your hand. And the grown-ups in their lives smile as the children learn the real satisfaction our Lord has built into living and breathing and developing skills. We soon learn that the greatest joys in life come not from lying on a beach and doing nothing, but by doing something, by being active, by taking responsibility, by being productive with our unique talents and skills, and even by making a living and paying bills and taking our place in an economy by making decisions. Thank you, God, for giving me a meaningful and productive life of service. But how wrong it would be if that little child, with a grown-up watching over them, were to begin getting scared, as if having lunch or living in a house depended on them. Oh no, that's the parent's job. But that's just what our sinful nature does when we, who have never been in charge of our lives really, begin panicking as if we were the provider, as if our life depended on us. Jesus says, just look at nature if you need a reminder. Look at the birds. You think they do a lot of planning each day on how they're going to eat? No. They wake up in the morning, sing a song of praise to God, go out and act like birds, finding seeds to eat and nests to build. Then they sing an evening song of praise, tuck their heads under their wings, and go to sleep. Or look at the wildflowers. They do nothing. God provides sunshine and rain and nutrients for their roots. All they do is function like the plants God created them to be. And the clothes they wear take our breath away. They are so beautiful. So don't worry about anything, Jesus tells us. It's a slap in the face to your God, who protects his honor as not only your creator, but also your provider. Do you hear his two powerful reasons for not worrying? The unbelieving people of this world, the pagans who make up false gods and worship them, that's how they act, because they have no confidence in their gods. You want to imitate them? Of course not. Besides, the true God, your God, knows what you need. When you go to him and pray, give us today our daily bread, this, friends, is not a surprise to him. He knows exactly what you need. He knows how much food you need, how much money you need to survive in this economy, what kind of people you need around you, what kind of job is going to help you meet your needs, and so on. He is honored when you trust him enough to relax in his arms and pray to him, and then fall asleep in peace like a mother bird on her nest. You don't need to worry about anything. He knows how to care for you, and he will. Now, here's the other gem of wisdom Christ gives us. He wants your thoughts in another beautiful place, a place of trust. Behind it all is the real issue, which, by the way, is not, do I have a good enough job, or how is the economy doing? Instead, it's, is my mind and my heart in the place God wants it to be? Here are the key words of this entire section on worry. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I started out today by saying, worry about things that matter. That's kind of ironic, because we know God doesn't want us to worry at all. Yet Jesus says, there is something I want you to keep front and center in your mind. And it's not money and food and clothes and houses and cars, which I promise to provide for you in my good timing. It's my kingdom of salvation. If you're going to worry about anything, worry about that. In today's gospel, Jesus had just given his three close disciples a little glimpse of his kingdom. His skin and clothing glowed as bright as a flash of lightning. Two amazing figures from Israel's ancient history, Moses and Elijah, suddenly appeared talking with him. And the brilliant cloud of God appeared, and his voice claimed Jesus as his divine son, urging them to listen to him. It's as if he was cementing in their minds the sight and sound. You know this kingdom I keep telling you about. This kingdom I came to bring you, it's real. But for now, it's hidden from your eyes. I love to tell you about it. Soon I will be paying for it with my innocent suffering and death and giving it to you freely. I just want to be sure you don't miss it because you're so sinfully, untrustingly fixated on the stuff of this world. And that's the issue, isn't it? We worry about stuff that really doesn't matter all that much, and we don't worry about things that really do count. A sports coach might stoke up his team by shouting, do you want this? Do you really want it? Do you really, really want it? And each time the players shout back louder and louder, yes, 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 then go for it and play with all your heart. Jesus might well be asking us, do you want this kingdom of mine? This kingdom where I freely take away your sins by my sacrifice? Where I give you eternal life in heaven, not as a maybe, but as an absolute sure thing? Do you want this kingdom where my righteousness is given to you as a free gift? Then seek it. Go after it. Chase it with all your heart. Nothing else in this world is worth so much attention as this. And let's not forget, nothing in this world is so free and so available to lost sinners as the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus made sure of that. In the coming weeks of Lent, we are going to be recounting in great detail how he did it. You need to be here for our Wednesday services and our Sunday services. You need to be at church for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, so you never forget his passion and death. And you need to come back again on Easter Sunday morning and again witness the empty grave where your heart is lifted with the song, I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, Jesus says. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that true? In this sinful world, we'll find plenty of things that have been shattered by sin and the attacks of the devil. So trust God for everything today. Sleep well tonight. Then wake up tomorrow and praise him and trust him again. And never stop chasing after the only thing that matters forever, his beautiful kingdom of eternal life. Amen.